two of our favourite carols. And we'll maybe start off with Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. I'm always nervous when I'm standing looking at you all. And I was at a meeting one night not so long ago, and the woman, she said, she was giving her testimony, and she was always nervous. And she said, if you just imagine you're looking at a field of cabbage, you'll not be so nervous. It's not helping me. I'm looking at you and I'm thinking about cabbage, carrots, parsnips. It's not helping. But anyway, you can do something for me. You can sing well tonight, and that'll help me, and it'll help the meeting. Okay, Silent Night. Shepherds fall. You know, we didn't get around the old people's homes this year, and a lot of us in the church, we carol sing every year, and by the time you finished carol singing and around all the homes, you know all these carols off by heart. But this year and last year we didn't do that, so we're out of practice a wee bit. So let's really sing our best, Who Is He in Yonder Stall. King has come, the earth receive her king. Two verses, please. said, you know, Mr. Park's a very persuasive person. And he rang me about an hour ago and he says, would you lead the meeting tonight? Would you like to lead the meeting tonight? So I was honest and I says, no. And he said, well, brother, you should always jump at a chance to serve the Lord. And then there was an awkward 15 seconds of silence. It felt like 2 hours. And then I said, well, that's fine, brother, I'll lead the meeting tonight. So I would never say no to Mr. Park anyway. He does too much for us here. So we're glad of the opportunity in some ways of being here tonight and leading. Okay, once in Royal Davis Hall. Okay, we'll start our service proper tonight with our opening chorus or hymn, Lovely Was the Night in Judea. And we'll all stand together to sing, please. So if you know that wee part in the chorus, let's really hear that coming through and that'll make it sound all the better, okay?
Thank you.
Well, this is a special night tonight. This is our special boxing evening service, and we're going to have different ones from our congregation taking part. So we're going to ask Samuel Johnson now to come and open our meeting in a word of prayer. Samuel, please.
Let's all pray. Our eternal God, we come humbly into your presence tonight, and we realize that we come before the one who is called holy, holy, holy. We realize that we come before the one who created this world, the one who spake it into existence. And we thank you that we can come because of our Savior, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he did there at the cross at Calvary. We thank you, Lord, at this time of the year we think of his incarnation, of how the Lord Jesus Christ was born there in Bethlehem. We thank you that he came at that stage as a little baby, but we thank you that the next time he comes, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray, Lord, tonight that as we worship you tonight, that we will remember who we are worshiping and that we will be those who are worshiping aright. We thank you, Lord, for each one who has gathered in tonight. We pray that you will be one of our midst and one of our number. We pray for your children who are here, that you will help us to worship you, that you will encourage us in the things of God, and that you will even fill us with your grace to hear what you would speak to us tonight. Lord, whatever that word would be, should it be a word of encouragement or a word of rebuke, we pray that each one will hear that word from God himself. And we pray for those amongst us who are unsaved, those who as yet are strangers to grace and to God. We pray that tonight that you will work in their hearts and that you'll speak to them. Those perhaps who have long been prayed for, those who perhaps know the gospel inside out, but as yet they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each one who takes part tonight. We think of those who will sing, those who will read, those who will play instruments, those who will lead the service. We pray that each one of them will know the help and the blessing of God upon their participation tonight in this worship service. And Lord, especially for our pastor, we thank you for him. We pray that tonight that you will fill him powerfully with the Spirit of God, and that he will know the leading and guiding of the Spirit of God tonight as he brings the word to our hearts. Remember those who have left this congregation to go to foreign fields tonight. We think of our sister Noreen there in Uganda. We pray that you will bless her, and that you will help her in the work there among the boys and girls in the school. We think of Alex and Vanessa in Spain. We thank you for them and for the work they're doing there in that village, and we pray that you will continue to bless their labours for you in their homeland of Spain. We think of our brother John and their Anna Hannah there in Spain, and for the many years of service that they have given to you in that land. Help them as well and bless them at this Christmas time. And we think of Armin and Melanie and the children there in Greenville. Bless them, Lord. We pray that they will know the help of God upon their work there. And even we think of Josh and Leah down there in Bangor. We pray that you will bless them tonight as they bring your word to the people of that town. So, Lord, be one of our number tonight. Lord, we realize that if we meet here without your presence, that it will be in vain. But we pray that tonight that we will know you coming alongside, and that you would even be one of our number. And as we leave, we pray that we will say it was good to have gone there, for there we've met afresh with the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Samuel. You know, it's great that in Ballymoney here we have people with talent, and I excluded myself from that. But we have a lot of people with talent, and we're pleased that they use them talents for the Lord in a lot of cases. So we're going to have some of them people taking part tonight, and I'm going to read out three participants here, and then I'll sit down and these people can do whatever. But the first three people to take part tonight is Aaron. Aaron McCauley is going to come and read the word, and then we're going to have Diane and Rebecca doing a duet on the flute and on the piano. So Aaron first, and then we'll have our duet. Thank you.
Our first Bible reading tonight is Luke chapter 2, commencing at verse 8. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone astray from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen.
Thank you. Lord so clearly, and for that recital. That was beautiful. Okay, we're going to have Gemma coming now and reading God's Word, Gemma Halliday. If Gemma can come and read God's Word to us, please. And then after that, we'll have the announcements by our own pastor.
Our second Bible reading tonight is found in John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5 and verses 10 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you very much, Gemma, for reading, and for the recital as well. It's beautiful. And for Aaron, who also read this evening. We want to welcome everyone to the house of God this evening in the Saviour's name, those in the building and those that are not. Some are listening in tonight, some of our folks are not well, others have had to isolate in these days because they've been in contact with COVID people, so they're following the rules there. But you're here tonight and we trust that you will be blessed. Could I remind you that on Friday, we're having our watch night service. Just before that, a season of prayer. So we'll go into the church hall at 10:30 and just take half an hour or so before the Lord and then come into this building for 11 o'clock. There'll be no Thursday night meeting. This will be our midweek service. The penny jar money is also due in by the end of the year. Keep that in mind. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting will be at 8 o'clock. The Sabbath school returns at 10:30. Likewise, the Bible class, and Phil is dealing with doctrine, and he's coming to our Bible reading plan. I want to preach the motto text for the year 2022 at our worship service at 12 noon, and then that's followed by the Lord's table and receiving in of new members, and then the gospel meeting at 7, which is our family night, the first family night of the year. Ford Arnold will be coming to give his personal word of testimony. You know the tragedy that has taken place in this family, and just recently we know of the very tragic accident that his brother was involved in that took his life, and we're thinking about that family. We pray for them often, and we're looking forward to Ford just coming to say how the Lord brought him and his family through by the grace of God. The prayer meeting is at 6:15. Again, we thank you for your tithes and your offerings to God's work, and today is the Home Mission Outreach envelopes. I think that's all the announcements. Appreciate the willingness of Philip to step in there tonight and to lead the meeting. It's really appreciated, even though there was a 15-minute silence he spoke about. And that wee carol that we sang, Sweet Singing, it maybe wasn't just the ladies. I always remember Stephen and maybe Sean and some of the other men. They came in, whatever part that is, alto or what is it? Tenor. It's a tenor part, you see. So the tenors came in there to sing that wee bit. So I'm going to hand it back to Philip just now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Sean and Stephen were always very slow with the tenors. Anyway, Mr. Park was making announcements this morning, and he was just asking if anybody needed envelopes for missionary work or for any other giving concerning the church. We'd just like to encourage you. If you do need envelopes, come and see us. If you would like to pay directly from your bank, it's a great job. I've done it myself, and I must say, if I can get onto it, because I'm not IT savvy at all, anybody could do it. And I must say, it's very, very handy. And if you'd like to change to this method of payment, see me or Ivor, and we'd be happy to talk you through it and give you any details you require. Okay, we're going to have Gemma now coming and reading God's Word. Sorry, Gemma's already read God's Word. That's an age thing. We're going to have Jordan McCauley. You know, Jordan, come on ahead. I remember the day you were born, son. And it's a blessing to have you here reading God's Word tonight. Thank you.
Our reading tonight is from a few different parts of Isaiah. It starts in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The next part is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The next part is from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The final part is from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 to 5. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Jordan, once again. Okay, we're going to all take part now. We're going to sing that hymn, In a Humble Manger, Sent from the Father Above. One to take part tonight, say Mr. Park, is Rebecca, his own daughter-in-law. So we're going to ask Rebecca to come now and sing to us, and then our pastor, Mr. Park, is going to come and preach the word and then close our meeting tonight. Thank you very much.
Palaces into
Thank you very much, Rebecca. I'll just use this mic, and I saved me putting this one on. As I was thinking of tonight's meeting, I was thinking about the message that the angels had at this particular time of the year when Christ came into the world. And that's the message that I want to speak on tonight. We'll be turning to a few passages of Scripture in a moment or two. We'll begin at Matthew chapter 1, if you want to look up the place. But before we do so, we're going to pray. Let's seek the Lord. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the service that has taken place, for all who have participated, the reading of your precious word that has brought us to the incarnation, the fact that God became man and dwelt among us. Thank you for the recital. Thank you, gracious God, for the songs that we just listened to. And we praise thee tonight for the one who came, as the hymn writer put it, out of the ivory palaces. When we think of that, the condescension of Christ into this world, a world of woe, it made him come because he loved us so. We thank thee for your love, your grace, your mercy towards us. To think of he that was God becoming man for the purpose of being the Saviour of men, to reconcile us to God, we just rejoice in such a wonderful truth. And as we have this final gospel service on the Lord's Day of this year, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll abide with us, that your presence will be known even in the word tonight. Speak to us, Lord. Remember the dear unsaved ones that attend this house of God. Speak to them especially. Before this year is through, may they seek Christ. Give this preacher help now from on high, the Spirit of God coming down into this meeting to work in my heart and to work in the hearts of those that are here, so that God will be glorified and Christ exalted. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Angels were created at the beginning of time when God made everything. And there are millions and millions of angels. The book of Hebrews describes a multitude of angels too numerous to count in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. The beloved John in the book of Revelation, he spoke about the voice of many angels round about the throne, which numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in Revelation 5 and verse 11. If you do your maths, you'll be able to multiply that up to 100 million angels plus. The plus is the thousands of thousands. And although the Bible doesn't tell us precisely the number of angels that were created, there are those who believe that there are as many, or there could be as many angels in existence as the total number of people in the world. And if that's the case, we're talking about billions of angels in God's creation. There's many different kinds of angels of various ranks. We have angels that are called seraphim, others that are the cherubim. We have the living creatures, the elders that are around the throne of God. We have archangels and so on. Only three angels are named, are identified. Gabriel, we read about Gabriel both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He appears on the pages of the prophecy of Daniel, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 16, and he comes again in the New Testament to Mary in Luke chapter 2. And then we have Michael the archangel, and we read about him in the book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. The other angel that is mentioned is Lucifer, the fallen angel, in Isaiah 14 verse 12. Angels are mentioned 273 times in 34 books of the Bible. And they were employed by Almighty God to carry out various tasks. And nothing was more special than the incarnation, the coming of Christ into the world. And so the angels of God featured very much in the coming of Christ, featured at his birth, at his temptation, at his death on the cross of Calvary, at his tomb during the time he was laid there, at his ascension, and at his glorious coming again. I want to think about the message of the angels at the time of the incarnation, especially what they said about Christ. That's so important, because the message of the gospel is all about Christ, and the angels preach the message of the gospel. And it is my prayer that you will listen, that you will listen carefully to these sinless angelic beings and take heed to their message if you haven't done so already. I want to think about the message to Joseph, and that's why we've mentioned here Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through to verse 25. We'll not read all that portion of Scripture, but you look at verse 21, and Joseph is told that Mary would bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,
which being interpreted is God with us. Now, this angel came to alleviate Joseph's concerns, for Joseph had a troubled heart at this moment in his life. And you can just imagine how distressing Joseph's situation must have been, because the woman that he intended to marry is now found with child. The purity, integrity, and honour of Mary was at stake, and of course the reputation of Joseph himself was at stake. And as he meditates upon his dilemma, this mysterious pregnancy of Mary, her future, his future, their future, if they had one, what he must do, how he should react to her, this angel sent from God appears to inform him of the origin of this child in the womb of Mary. And his message, as we've read in these verses, centered upon two great names of the Saviour, Jesus. What a name. The name that tells us what he came to do. And we've preached this many, many times as we've thought of the name of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And that little statement really is a summary of the name. For the name Jesus is the name that means Savior. Jehovah is salvation. And this name declares the work of the Redeemer, that great work that he came to do when he entered this world. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So here's the Savior, the only Savior, Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. My friends, this leads us to the great work, the atonement of Christ, the redemptive work of Christ, the taking away of our sins. The eternal plan and purpose of Almighty God is in this name. He saves completely. He saves from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death eternal. Death in hell forevermore. But Jesus saves us from that penalty because he took that penalty upon himself. And he saves from the power of sin. He gives to his people power to overcome sin. He saves from the passion of sin. He takes away the love of sinning. And you know, one day he saves his people from the very presence of sin, when he takes us out of this world and he brings us home to be with himself, which is far better. And I want to proclaim this name from the pulpit tonight. I want to proclaim the name on every street corner, on every housetop. I want to proclaim this name in your ear tonight. If I could just get down beside you and sit beside you, I would whisper in your ear the name Jesus, Savior. Because I want you to know that he is the Savior. He can be your Savior tonight if you haven't taken him already. And then we have Emmanuel. If Jesus tells us what he came to do, Emmanuel tells us who he is. Points to his deity. He's God. He's God with us. And the name shows us how God, how low God bent down to save man. He added to his nature our nature. And the Almighty God descended into the womb of the Virgin Mary. When he walked in this world, he walked as God with us. The Word, we heard it read earlier tonight, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I was just thinking, these names summarize the gospel, because this is the gospel. Emmanuel, Jesus, the infinite eternal God in the person of the Son, becoming man for the purpose of becoming our Savior. Do you realize this tonight? Do you see God Almighty descending into this world? Do you see God Almighty entering into the womb of Mary? Do you see God Almighty taking human flesh to himself that he might be our mediator and our Savior? Oh, what love, what mighty love he had for us when he would become man. The message to Joseph And then I want you to think about the message to Mary. And we turn over to Luke chapter 1. And if you were to read the whole account, you would be reading verse 26 through to verse 33. And there was a wonderful message here. Look at verse 30. Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this angel had many noteworthy things to say to this young virgin woman. He came to Mary to tell her that she was highly favored, that the Lord was with her, that she was blessed, and so she was among women, not above women, but among women. She had found favor with God, and the angel came to speak about the conception of Christ, this wonderful miracle that would take place in her womb, but also about the names. Now we're back to the names again. The names of this son, Jesus, just as he had said to Joseph, and then the Son of the Highest and the Son of God. And again, these names summarize who Christ was and what he came to do. The message is still the same. Can't you see that tonight? And that's our message today. 2,000 years later, the message is still the same. I preach to you Jesus, the Son of God. And then I want you to think about chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. The message of the angel to the shepherds. Verse 8 of chapter 2 and onwards. And again, I would commend to you the verses that are before us here. The angel of the Lord in verse 9 came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. And the angel in verse 10 speaks these words: Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The announcement of the angels to these shepherds, as you see in what I've read to you tonight, was along the same lines. For he's highlighting the names of our blessed Redeemer, a Savior. And we've thought of how the word Jesus means Savior. He's a Savior. And he's Christ the Lord. And that term is pointing again to the fact that he's God manifested in human flesh, God on the earth. You can't help but notice the repeated message of the angels to Joseph, to Mary, and now to the shepherds. It is the fact that Almighty God came to the earth to be the Savior of man. We've been singing over and over again these beautiful hymns that we love to sing at Christmas time. And I think of those powerful lines that we've sung on a number of occasions. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And I would say that is the message of Christmas, not the feasting. And I'm sure you've enjoyed that part, that aspect of Christmas. We've enjoyed a Christmas meal together. Not the festivities, that's part of what happens at this time of the year. Not family times, and I cherish family times just as much as any other individual. Not the giving and the receiving of gifts, that's important. I've been talking to some of the children today, both this morning and tonight. I've just been asking them what they got for Christmas. Did they get anything? And were they satisfied with what they got? Were they pleased? And they all replied in the affirmative. That's not the real message of Christmas. It's not the decorations. It's certainly not worldly revelry that we see around us in the world. The real message of Christmas is Christ was born. God in human flesh, born to be our Savior. Have you pondered this much over Christmas time? Has this been central to your thoughts and your meditation? I trust that it has been, especially if you're a child of God tonight. The word angel means messenger. And that's what these beings were. They were messengers. Messengers to mankind, to Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds. And that's what preachers are today. Preachers are messengers. They bring the same message that the angels of old brought. We bring a message about Jesus. The Savior has come. And this Savior who has come is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God. He's Christ the Lord. In order for Jesus to be the Savior, I want to finish in this thought tonight. It necessitated him going to the cross of Calvary. And there dying. Dying the just for the unjust, that you and I might be brought to God. It has often been said that the babe of the manger is the Christ of the cross, and that is so. Wilbur Chapman penned a beautiful hymn. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. Oh, one day, when we think of how the heavens were filled with the praises of God as the announcement was made that the child was born. In the darkest and the deepest, one of the darkest and deepest parts of human history, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. And then the hymn writer went on to speak about that day when they laid him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. My Redeemer is he. My friends, tonight, just as we close this meeting, can I lead you to the cross? Can I lead you to the great purpose of the incarnation? Can I bring you to the great eternal purpose of God in Christ, the reason why this babe was brought into the world? It's there on the brow of a hill called Calvary, where our blessed Lord Jesus was put to death to bear our sin, to take upon himself the wrath of God that we deserved, so that you and I could come to know this Savior who stood in our stead and be gifted with everlasting life and heaven at the end of the journey. Do you know Jesus tonight, the Savior, this one who came down from heaven, God with us? Do you know him? And if not, I plead with you on the final Lord's Day of this year, trust in him. Come to Christ and come without delay. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we rejoice in the message of the angels, the message brought to these individuals that were mentioned this evening. And it's all about this person called Jesus, the Savior of man, Emmanuel, Christ the Lord, reminding us that he was God in human flesh. How we bless thee for the coming of the Savior, for his coming brought redemption and salvation to so many. A great multitude will be gathered around the throne on that day that no man can number, will come from every nation of the world. And Lord, we pray that while on others thou art calling from the nations of this earth, do not pass us by here in Ballymoney. Remember the dear unconverted present with us. Remember those that are listening in tonight. Blessed Lord Jesus, bring them to yourself. Show them the purpose of the incarnation, the Christ of God becoming flesh, that he might redeem men unto God. And may they take him tonight. May they run to him with all haste and find Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, this is our great prayer at the close of the meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just going to sing three verses in closing tonight of the hymn 289, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and That thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Dear sinner, that's what you need to do. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to the Lamb of God. And may you say in your heart as we sing the words of this hymn, you say and mean it with all of your heart, O Lamb of God, I come. Our Father, we thank you tonight afresh for the great gift of God to this fallen race of humanity. We say thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We praise thee for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray that each man, each woman, each young person in this service tonight will search out their own hearts and, Lord, be honest. Face up to the question where they stand with Almighty God in the light of the great eternity. And Lord, if they come to that honest conclusion that they're not right with thee, may they turn and seek the Saviour. May they come to him tonight. Bless your word. Bless all that has taken place in this meeting this evening. We pray that you'll use it for your honour and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated.